What a privilege it is today that we gathered here. First, because of the situation with the COVID-19, but also with the situation of being drawn to God by his love and his compassion. And we're so blessed because of that, for his great love in sending Jesus Christ. So we've come together to meet with God and to take part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together this prayer. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. But we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word and understanding to know what it means and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brian is going to come now and bring us God's word this morning.
As we can see on the screen, we're reading first of all from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, came, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. And so our second reading is from Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 to 24. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered with his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Fabulous reading. We're going to now stand and affirm our faith in the words from taken from Philippians. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, once again, good morning and welcome to church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And if you're listening at home, a very welcome to you as well as you're listening in to us today. Today's sermon title is called From Luke's Gospel and Jonah, God Welcomes and Pardons the Sinner. And it's part of our little sermon series that we're thinking about what a good God is. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word read to us. And we do pray that as we hear it read to us now, Lord, and spoken on, that your spirit will move us and remind us of how good you are. Help me to teach your word correctly. May we engage in what we hear, and we pray that you'll put it into practice in our lives, that we might be truly thankful for how good you are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've ever been in the situation that I have been in, is where you've gone down a wrong way. Put up your hand if you've been down a wrong way whilst driving in a car. Oh, that's actually about a third of you. Stagger me. Your hand up at home? But I remember very vividly one day in my brand new car, quite young in my driving career, of actually coming to an intersection and realising I'm at a set of lights and there are two lanes of cars directly ahead of me. And they're looking at me. And the two people in the car, I couldn't believe it, they're all telling me, doing this. And I'm thinking, go this? All I'm doing here is pushing my hands forward, you know. And then I realised the sheer horrors the night as their light went green and they started to come before me, that there was no lights in front of me. And I was actually going up a wrong way of a street. I tell you what, I quickly turned around. The brakes went on, the backing back, the turning around, there's a few beeping of horns. I didn't stop there to actually think, is this a good idea? Will I turn around? Will I stay? Will I continue going? Wait, no, I repented. I turned around and went back the right way. Today's teaching from the Bible is, in a way, about repentance. And it's a meaning, and we see this in two distinct groups of people. We see it in the people of Nineveh, and we see it in the young son of the father. Two very familiar stories to many people, even if you're listening in and you're not a Christian and you're thinking about what do Christians believe. These two stories here talk about the power of God in a person's life when faced with the reality of hearing God speak to them in his word, to be able to realise that they have gone the wrong way in life and need to turn around and go back and be welcomed back to God. And also, it's a passage and a couple of scriptures that remind us about repentance, a change of heart, and what God does in our lives. But also, more importantly, I think also too, is it's about understanding the character of your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father. And if you're not in a relationship with God listening in here, then this God, this true and only God, wants to be your Heavenly Father as well. So identify with this man, this person in the story about this God that you're hearing is a God that wants to welcome you and pardon you and welcome you home. And those two themes come through in the two Bible passages that we have before us this morning. And so what we have here, if you've got your Bibles, open them up. You should all have a little Bible study there. I hope you're looking at during the week. But what we do have here in our Bible readings this morning is firstly the Jonah reading, is we see that Jonah comes to his senses whilst in the belly of the big fish. He realises God has been disciplining him. And he's disciplined him by helping him to remember Scripture and to pray. And in our little Bible studies or thinking on these passages that have come up to now is that that's what God does in our lives too. He disciplines us. And he disciplines us by bringing us back to Scripture and to talk to him. Isn't God good? He doesn't push us away when we've done wrong. He actually wants us to come to him. And there's true and false guilt here. You know, true guilt brings us closer to God. And false guilt is pushing us away from God until we think we're good enough to come back to God. That's false guilt. True guilt is just come back to him and repent and walk. And so as the word Jonah, whilst in the belly of the big fish, comes to his senses, and he, whilst he's there on the beach, he realises, okay, off to Nineveh. Whether or not he's particularly excited about this journey or not, back to Nineveh, is debatable. But when he gets there, he brings the message of God to the people of Nineveh. And they hear it, and they respond in repentance and faith. Look there how they respond. They believe in God. They put on sackcloth. They pray. They fast. They call upon God. They turn away from their evil ways and their wicked ways. And they pray and they hope that God will relent and have compassion upon them. Now, it may have been some time in your life where it may be happening now or as you're listening in, that God is moving by his word to bring you to repentance and faith and to remind us that that has happened in our lives and to come to him and to be welcomed by him. And so Jonah is watching this occur And just putting Jonah to the side at this moment, because we'll pick up on with his reaction to all of this next week when we come together in the last of our little sermon series. But he's sitting and he's watching what's going on here. But these people of Nineveh, non-Jews, hear God's word and repent and put their faith in God. And look what God does. What does he do? He saw what the people of Nineveh did, and he relented and he had compassion upon them. God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he is willing to forgive. And I think we sometimes have a little struggle here with thinking about cheap grace or thinking about what we have to do in order to make God, us worthy of coming to God for forgiveness. There's nothing in our hands we can bring. Remember the old hymn? Simply to the cross we cling. No merit of my own I bring, but solely to him I cling. You know, and the cross there. God wants that to come. And we see this in the story of the prodigal, of the son, the father. What strikes me is really interesting in the very opening of Luke 15, in that little parable, the third of the parables, is Jesus records this story about a father and two sons. And today we're looking at this youngest son. But do you notice that the father divides what we learn firstly about the father? Again, this is Jesus, I take it, is teaching us about who God is here by teaching us this parable. That he divides his property up between his two sons. Now, those of you who've thought about inheritances or dividing up of property, do you hear what's actually saying there? He's not dividing it up in three ways, father, two sons. He has emptied himself of all his and given it between his two sons. He has divided his property up evenly between his two sons. Such there is the giving of our God, right? He empties himself. And you may have noticed that in the creedal statement that we said, picking up from Philippians, that Jesus, when he came, he emptied himself of all such glory, of being equal with the Father, whilst he present, he gave up himself in that way as something to grasp and take hold of and call upon. He became humble as a human for our salvation in his divine person for our rescuing and saving. God is totally other person-centered. God is totally centered on you and me and our relationship with him. And so we see that to start with. But what does the youngest son do? We hear that the youngest son goes off and spends all of God's goodness, to or the father's goodness towards him in the story. And he goes and he just takes it for granted. And we can think, this man doesn't deserve what he's about to get. But eventually he comes to his senses when there's nothing that's there around him that finds. He's tried to find it in work. He's tried. All his friends have left him. But he finally comes to his senses. And we realize there's a real change in this man's heart when he realizes that he's not worthy to come to his father, but to make him a hired servant, one of his members. And we come to the next little part in the story of the prodigal there, the son. Is the son returns back. He goes back. Do you remember when you go back to God after you've sinned? Do you remember how you go back to him? And maybe the very first time. Or if you're thinking now, listening in, you know, about can I go back to him? Yes, you can go back to him. He's there. And this is the next little bit. As he's returning back to his father, the father sees him. And this is the second thing we hear, how wonderful our God is and how good he is. That this father has not given up on his son. Every day he's been out looking and waiting and longing for his son to return, patiently waiting for God's timing, if he comes back at all. But he was out there, watching and looking. And eventually, that little phrase there, as he's returning, yeah, what's it say there? The Father saw him. And it wasn't then sort of like a nice little, how you going there, son? You know, it was, he picked up his garment and he ran to his son. Oh, I get it. And he wraps him in his arm and he welcomes him home. And the whole picture here is that we're learning to celebrate our repentance, our forgiveness, our coming back to God. I think the hardest thing about forgiveness is actually forgiving ourselves and forgiving another. Think on that. We accept God's forgiveness and we enjoy in that. But God is actually wanting us to celebrate in our forgiveness, our repentance, and those of others as well. And he welcomes, but in the midst of all of this, you can sort of see the son in the midst of the cuddle. I love a little picture to imagine it. Here he is giving him a big cuddle, this big jolly father, giving his son a big cuddle, and his son's trying to get it out. Father, I'm not worthy to be called one of your sons. Just make me one of your hired hands, you know. And the father's sort of calling for a celebration. Get the fatted calf, bring it in, let's celebrate, because this son of mine, a lovely little phrase there. This, because he picks it up later on with the other son. Yeah, this son of mine was lost, but now is found. If you're a Christian here today or listening in, you were once lost. You may not remember the time that you were lost. You may remember it very vividly, but you were once lost. But God found you. God found you. And he welcomed you home as you came to him. If you're listening in today and you think you're too far away from God, he's looking, he's waiting for you to come back. And he's wanting you to come back. And he's wanting you to come to him and to receive forgiveness and to know that you are part of his family. He loves you dearly as his child. Come to the Father. And so the end of that little parable ends off with, we must celebrate. Celebrate. And so we end the little story with Jonah. The people of Nineveh, the king, all these people celebrating forgiveness. Celebrating a returning to God, unworthy as they were, but celebrating. The father, the son, the younger son, the hired, the servants, celebrating relationship with God. And we ought to celebrate our relationship with God together in our own, when we praying with him, thanking him, and when we come together, we celebrate. And so that's where we leave it. But is that what Jonah does? Is that what the oldest son does? For again, we learn from next week, that little story, the next bits, the last little bits of it, that we're meant to celebrate the lost being found and to stand amazed at God's great love for us. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, two very familiar stories. We thank you, Father God, for welcoming us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us to our senses and calling us to come to you and to receive your forgiveness and to know that we are your children, once lost, now found. We celebrate in your goodness, for you are a good God, a great God, and we love you dearly. Your grace amazes us. We stand amazed in your presence. Welcomed home. Amen.
stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing high.
Please join with me in prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, when we were lost in our sin, you looked for us, and finding us, took us into your arms and welcomed us. We give you thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness toward your children, but above all for your compassion, mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we are taught by your holy word to pray and give thanks for all people. We ask in your mercy to accept our alms and oblations and to receive our prayers, which we offer to your divine majesty. We pray that you will continue to lead the nations of the world in the ways of righteousness and peace. Please, Lord, guide their rulers in wisdom and justice for the tranquility and good of all. We pray especially you would bless your servant, Elizabeth, our Queen, her representatives and ministers, her parliaments, and all who exercise authority in this land. Thank you, Lord, for Scott Morrison and Gladys Berejiklian. Thank you for Anthony Albanese. Thank you for all our ministers. Please, Lord, may they act impartially. May they administer justice, restrain wickedness and vice, and uphold integrity and truth. We ask of your goodness, Lord, to comfort and sustain all who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We beseech you, Lord, to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and in godly love. Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially to our Archbishop Glenn, our Bishop Michael, our Minister Trevor and Karen, and we pray, Lord, that by their life and teaching, they may set forth your true life-giving word and rightly and duly administer your holy sacraments. Lord, to all people, please give your heavenly grace, especially to this congregation here present, that we may continue to receive your word with joyful, reverent, and obedient hearts, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. We also bless your holy name for all your servants who've died in the faith of Christ, especially remembering Ruth. Give us grace, Lord, to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Grant this, Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Holy Father, you have reconciled us to yourself in Christ, and by the work of your Holy Spirit, you enable us to be your children. Lord, we give you deep thanks for Christ, your obedient Son. We don't know how much it cost him to bear our sin and the sin of the whole world in his own body on the cross. But we thank you. We thank you for the victory over evil and suffering and death. We praise and thank you, death does not have the last say. We thank you, Lord, that all that Jesus has done not only impacts our past but our future. And we thank you that once he's begun a good work in us, he will carry it on to completion. We thank you too for other lives who are connected with ours. Lord, please bless us with the gift of peace, not only with you, but with one another. We pray, Father, that we would share reconciliation with those we share our lives with. We pray that your Spirit would keep working in our spirit, that we may continue to be drawn more and more to you, to live your way for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. O God, the author and lover of peace, in knowledge of whom stands our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, your servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that surely trusting in your defence, we may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. Thanks, Fiona. I draw your attention to the bulletin that was emailed to you or you've printed off and brought along with you this morning. And to start with, I'm just going to invite Karen up to tell us a little bit about what's been happening with Kids Church over the COVID-19 period and school holidays, and what's happening in the coming weeks ahead, Lord willing. Thanks, Karen. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. As many of you will be aware, during term two, Kids Church embraced modern technology and we met on Zoom. We had a wonderful time and was so thankful for the family's participation in embracing our new method of Kids Church. It was a wonderful time. The young children worked through some Old Testament stories and the older children worked through some studies on the Book of James, and we had lots of fun. And the great advantage of being at home is we could do lots of fetch and find games. So that was really, really helpful. Lots of extra resources when the kids are at home. This term, the children go back to school tomorrow, and we're meeting in a new venue. We're up in the church hall. Because of the change of environment here with the entrance hall, we feel it's safer and more spacious for the children to be meeting in the church hall. So we can take advantage of that extra space for our activities and dividing the children into their age groups for their Bible studies. So we're looking forward to that. We hope that the families will feel safe and encouraged to come along. We understand increasing anxiety for people with the way things are changing in the community at the moment. But we would encourage them to know that we will be doing all we can to make that environment safe for them and their children. So we'll be starting a little bit earlier so the parents can drop off their children up in the hall before they come to church and then come and collect them at the end. The little children will be learning about how great their God is and how much he loves them. We'll be looking at the story of the kings in the Old Testament, and the older children are actually going to be following on with a study in the book of Romans, as the sermon series does. We'll be hearing God's good news from that. So we'd appreciate your prayers for our team. We're very thankful for Vitti and Anthony and Emily, who have faithfully served us in this ministry of connecting with our families. And just for all of us as we come back together into a new space, in a new way, at a new time. So we'd really be thankful for your prayers for that.
Thanks, Karen. Well, let's pray. Yeah. Loving God, we thank you for families and kids in our church, and we just thank you for how Emily and Karen and Anthony and Biddy and all the team there of helpers have been able to keep that ministry continually going on in our absence, and even now as we speak in connections with them, We do pray for the coming back of Kids Church into the hall. Do indeed keep them all safe. May they continue to grow in their knowledge and love of you. May we, as older folk in the church or without kids, be mindful of our kids in the church and their families and be remembering them in prayer before you, dear God. We ask this and for your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally on the fourth Sunday of the month, we would have the Lord's Supper together. And this is the intent, to bring back the Lord's Supper to our gatherings together. But we want to do that in a safe way. That not only we know safe, but you know safe as well too. And in this uncertain time at the moment around about us, we're going to have a little chat the parish council afterwards and think about how we can do that appropriately in the months ahead. So it won't be next Sunday, but we'll be looking at aiming for the months ahead, August or September, making sure that we know that we can say to you, this is a safe way of doing the Lord's Supper together if we come together in church. Again, the cones are all out and the parking spaces are there. If you are wanting to, thank you for coming early this morning and thank you for social distancing. It's great. If you need to come a little bit earlier and finding a park, the side passage down the side of the hall here is open now from 8:30 in the morning, so it should fit three cars in that little space there. And up the back of the preschool and to the side here, we have the disabled car spaces. If you've got a sticker, you can use those two spots that are there. As Karen alluded to, next Sunday is the last little sermon in our series on how good our God is through Jonah and Luke. And we're going to do a long sermon series through the book of Romans, which has been foundational in many a Christian's life. And I gather it's most probably been foundational in yours life as well too, as is mine. It brought about the conversion of Martin Luther and the Reformation, of which we stand upon, and I hope that as we study those scriptures together, that we grow in our maturity and in our understanding of how good our God is and solid in our relationship with Him. And so part of that is being in a Bible study group as well, our own little Bible study that we might do during the week. So I'll continue to put into the bulletin a sermon outline and a Bible study for you to do at home or with your family, or to come together with a couple of people and do the Bible study, or in your present Bible study group to do that, or in my Bible study group on a Sunday night here in the church from 5 through to 6 o'clock, and you're welcome. Even if you can double dip with Bible studies, all right, you go to your own and then you can come to mine as well too on the Sunday night if you like. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Good. All right, well, I just want to say thank you to Sam for playing for us before and after church. Thanks, Sam. And others that were involved in the time when we were not meeting here, just saying thank you for all of them that were involved on behalf of the church for our service times as well. Tina, back to you.
We're going to join together in a moment for a thanksgiving and praise in this next, it's an ancient hymn actually. So it's an ancient hymn and it's very much was in the prayer book, and it's called the Te Deum. So please stand and join in these wondrous words giving praise to God. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, with all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, ever singing in endless praise. Holy, 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 O Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The godly fellowship of prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. Through all the world, your holy church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. Your Lord Christ, our King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father, when you came man to set us free, you did not disdain the Virgin's womb. When you overcame the sting of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with all saints to glory everlasting. Amen. As we leave today and we close our service, we have much to be thankful for. So let us go out with joy. Lord, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Please feel free to sit where you are and talk to the person nearby, social distancing, or immediately leave, washing your hands, or gathering out in the foyer or into the playground area.